Welcome back to the National Cancer Prevention Workshop, produced each year by LessCancer.org. I'm Miles O'Brien, chairman of the board of Less Cancer. We're conducting a series this year we're calling the John Dingell Health Disparities and Access Interviews. And we're talking about disparities and their impact in particular on occurrences of cancer as well as cancer deaths. Today, we're going to focus a little bit about disparities in rural communities versus urban settings with someone who knows an awful lot about this. Jan Carney is at the University of Vermont Larner College of Medicine. She is the Associate Dean for Public Health and Health Policy. She's a longtime friend of Less Cancer, and she's here now to talk with us a little bit about the differences between rural and urban settings and how that affects outcomes when it comes to cancer. Jan, great to see you. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks very much, Miles. It's great to be here.
So, Jan, let's talk about what's going on rural versus urban. Can we say, are there categorical statements we can make about the health of a rural population versus an urban population? Now, those are two giant buckets, but can we say, generally speaking, people in rural settings are not as healthy, or is that going too far?
I think that's too broad. Let me just, I sum it up as place matters. Where you live is a very important determinant of your health. Health is determined by zip code, probably more than your genetic code. And so people who do live in rural areas, particularly with regards to cancer, there are differences in their health. And those are for a variety of reasons that I can tell you about.
Well, let's talk about that first. Let's talk about, before we get into the kinds of treatments they may or may not be able to access, which is an interesting thing to talk about. Let's talk about what's causing all of this. We could run through the list of tobacco and alcohol and obesity, but so let's walk through it. What's at the top of your list when you think about what's causing more incidence of cancer in rural settings?
Sure. First of all, there are two things. First is whether there's more cancer or whether people have, there's more deaths from cancer or people don't have access to early treatment, preventive care, and health care. And those factors are both very, very important in this. If you think about it, it's a factor of both healthcare, those habits and behaviors, and access to preventive screening that can be life-saving. All of those factors may differ whether you live in an urban or rural settings.
So, all right, let's walk through tobacco use, for example. I know in Vermont, there's a pretty high tobacco usage percentage, right? And there's probably a million reasons that cause that, but are the public service messages not reaching some of these communities, perhaps?
Well, for example, step back maybe and look at all habits and behaviors. Okay, in rural settings, you're more likely to see an increase in habits and behaviors that may be related to later risk of cancer. So tobacco use rates may be higher in rural areas, alcohol use rates, obesity rates, and less access to HPV vaccines, all of which may be related to later development of cancer. Here in Vermont, overall, I think we're doing really well in terms of adult tobacco rates. But your question as to, is it as easy for people to get access to cessation help for that, or even get a medical appointment in a rural area to get advice about that or counseling? No, it's much harder.
So there is a component of, you know, health and medical literacy here that is important, right? Isn't it?
Yes, it's health and medical literacy is very important. And that is actually one of the things we're trying to do. We're trying to improve health literacy in our rural parts of the state. And we've learned quite a lot by studying differences in rural health communication and how people in rural areas want to get health information. People here in our urban areas want to use the internet and they might watch TV. People in our rural areas want to use word of mouth and Facebook and are more likely to want things from their town paper. So if we listen and pay attention to that, that will help us for the future in terms of getting some of those educational messages out that people need to help prevent cancer.
That's a very interesting demographic insight. Is that a function, you think, of age, or is it a zip code issue? Or you could make a case that that's generational, I suppose.
Well, it's not really related to generation in entirety. We certainly know that we have a one of the oldest populations here, but it's sort of, we've been studying this from a variety of different directions, and it seems to be a consistent finding. And I think it relates to how our communities are structured. So people in our rural communities might rely on their town clerk. They love their town paper. And so, you know, thinking about if that's what people are paying attention to, then for us, it's on us to put the health information in the places where they would like to read it or see it.
I suppose it's worth a couple of words here about obesity and its links to cancer. It's really in the loop on several cancers, right? Tell us a little bit about that. What obesity means for cancer incidence and ultimately mortality.
It's about, basically, I think there's CDC says there's 13 cancers that are of higher risk related to obesity. So in terms of habits and behaviors, the more we can help people be physically active, obviously, the better we'll do in preventing obesity and all the health conditions, all the chronic conditions that relate to that, diabetes and cardiovascular disease, as well as cancer. But in the rural areas, it's harder. And I guess the visual picture I use is we have something called mud season here. And we talk about when the snow melts and before summer, and some of those rural roads get really muddy and it's hard to get from place to place. And so think about those actual physical barriers, or if you might live in one of those areas that you might not necessarily have a place to go to be physically active, or even if you do, it's harder to get there.
So it's difficult to be more physically active, particularly at those shoulder seasons, but also the diet itself. We talk about food deserts when we're in cities. Yeah. Do people in rural settings, on the one hand, you can imagine an agricultural community, you might think intuitively, oh, they probably eat well, but maybe not necessarily.
Well, Miles, I think some of the ways I think about it is a step back and think about social factors in health, you know, and all the ones that impact people. And people who live in rural areas might have more trouble with a higher paying job, getting a higher paying job, or on the average, and this is not universal, but on the average, might have less educational attainment. We know that transportation is definitely an issue. We know that they have difficulty getting to healthcare. There may not be enough people providing healthcare in rural settings, and we need to do better with that, you know, across our country. And so there's just many, many reasons why it's harder for people to both know the kinds of things that they need to do to keep themselves healthy, have the resources to do that, including health insurance, have the transportation, have somebody to go to, and then have the availability of cancer screening services, as an example, in their own community, so that whenever they can get time off, they're able to access those.
Let's talk a little bit about the role of health insurance in this mix. What percentages are we talking about of people who are not covered, even in the wake of ACA? We still have a lot of insurance that is linked to people's jobs, right?
Right, exactly. In our country, that's the biggest association is our we get our health insurance depending where we work. And so depending on what your job is and whether or not that's a part-time or a full-time job may determine whether you're eligible or to enroll in health insurance. All right, so even if you're not, you know, say, we know that healthcare costs a lot. So the costs of those premiums for yourself or your family may make it very challenging, again, depending on your job. And then in terms of complexity, we think it's a high cognitive load to try and go on the websites and figure out what you're eligible for, how to get those subsidies that are more and more available. So bottom line, in my view, we've done a great job through the ACA expanding access. It's still, we don't have universal access. That's a huge barrier in our country. And that's a top priority that will help us in health across the board. It will definitely help us do better in terms of cancer prevention and treatment.
I mean, if you could wave a wand and create universal care for everyone, do you think that would have a huge impact on what we're talking about here?
I think that would be a huge impact. but not enough. And the reason I say that is because healthcare is one of a number of factors that are necessary together for us to be healthy. And so we've already talked about some of those, and those are our habits and behaviors. Do we have access to healthy food? Do we know what foods are the best to eat, for example? Do we have a place and time to be physically active? Do we never smoke, or if we are smoking, quit smoking and have access to resources to help us? And do we have someone to go to? Is there a place, a medical home? Is there a place we can get health care so that we can get primary and preventative care, and that there's somebody besides us being responsible to tell us, you're this age, you should be screened for colon cancer, for example, if you're 45 years old, or if you're younger, for cervical cancer, or a mammogram if you're a woman, those sorts of things. And it's the total package, in my view.
Well, you mentioned HPV earlier. You just mentioned colorectal. Why the disparities on screening?
Well, because in terms of rural access, and I would go back, let's use colorectal cancer screening and the availability of that. If it is harder to access healthcare in rural settings, why is that? There may be fewer doctors and nurses. It may be harder to get an appointment. It may be transportation may be a huge issue on an ongoing basis. So you may not get to go as often. So then there's that factor. And then if you're in a smaller area, how close is the facility? If you're going to get a colonoscopy, for example, that is likely not done in your doctor's office. But you can have access to another form of colorectal cancer screening. So having those regular checkups and having those recommendations and being able to actually get that care for colon cancer, much harder in rural areas.
Let's talk about the overall quality of care in rural settings. Generally speaking, people in rural settings have access to smaller facilities. And I know you've talked about the idea that high volume hospitals are linked to better outcomes. That's a difficult problem to address, isn't it?
Well, it depends what you're talking about. So in terms of primary and preventive care, I think that individuals, whether in rural settings or academic settings, who are well-trained and credentialed and have the appropriate state and local credentials and provide, and we have metrics by which we can measure quality, whether you're in a rural setting or not. So I don't necessarily think that in terms of the care that most people need to keep them healthy, primary and preventative care, we can have outstanding and high quality care in rural settings. But we have to make sure that we have the right incentives to get the doctors and nurses who are in training out there. We have to provide the community support so that they will stay there. And then we have to help people understand how to get an appointment and have enough people that they have someone to see.
Are there disparities, though, taking individuals who have cancer, for example, all things being equal, urban versus rural, if you're in a rural setting, are you more likely to die?
If the survival across the board for all cancers is worse in rural settings, all right? And those are specifically both the amount of cancer, the incidence of cancer and death rates for tobacco-related cancers in particular, are worse in rural settings. So we can pay attention to those, for example, lung cancer and access. We can come back to why that might be. And then for some areas in rural settings, the screening is harder. And we've talked a little bit about that. It's challenging to get there. It's challenging to make sure that you have enough screening services. So what we have to do is figure out ways to connect those patients in the rural communities to the state-of-the-art cancer care. So those connections between rural primary care and the tertiary centers, making sure that the physicians and nurses in those settings are aware of the state-of-the-art treatments available, and particularly the clinical trials, that's really, really important, and that patients are aware. And those are some of the activities and things we're trying to prioritize with our rural health communications. Are there ways, and we don't have all the answers yet, are there ways to help people in our rural settings enroll more easily, for example, in a clinical trial. I think there's a lot to be done. I think there's a lot more that we can do with the evidence and the practices. I mean, there's lots of things that we already know that work to help this, and applying those in a rural settings. I think there's a ton more we can do to help people.
Yeah, I'm hearkening back to your description of mud season, for example. Yeah. If someone in rural Vermont needs to get to Mass General, that can be a real challenge.
It could be. Yeah, but you might not, for the vast majority of your treatment, you might never need to even consider that. You know, we have outstanding medical facilities right here locally. We have a tertiary medical center here at the University of Vermont Health Network. It covers much of upstate New York and Vermont. And down for people living closer to the Hanover area, we have Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center. And so we have two tertiary centers right here that really can help most of the people locally, for the most certainly for all of the cancer screening tests and for much that's needed. But in some ways, it's a matter of helping people to know what they need and helping them to get there.
So you talk about the differences between equality and equity. I'm curious if you could help people understand that. That was a nuance that I really found insightful.
All right. I guess one of the best visual examples that I've seen recently has been that, think about the difference between equality and equity if a variety of different people had a bicycle. So everybody gets a bicycle. But if you're a child or you're someone with physical disabilities, you probably can't ride that one. It's not the right size for you, or it's not the right frame for you. So equality would be, yep, you got a bicycle. Equity would be, you have one that you can actually use. So you have the opportunity to ride that bike. So think about the ones that are fit for kids or for people with physical disabilities that you see people using. That's the difference.
So when it comes to healthcare, particularly in rural settings, the march toward equity faces a lot of challenges. Are you optimistic?
I am optimistic. You know, we have a lot of evidence. There's quite a body of evidence that, you know, in the clinical side, we have the Clinical Preventive Services, U.S. Preventive Services Task Force that gives us the evidence-based recommendation for what you need. That tells us what works. If you follow that screening, you're more likely to prevent cancer or less likely to die from it if it is found. Really, really important. Now, getting that to everyone is trickier. And there's another body called the Community Preventive Task Force, or the Community Guide, that provides evidence-based recommendations for people living in communities, like things that what works in a community setting. Things like community health workers. These are non-medical professionals that help link people to services. I think there's some great evidence for things that we could do if we applied more systematically, all across the board, you know, in our rural settings. Health literacy, we talked a little bit about that. You know, if everyone knew what are the specific healthcare services, what are the health behaviors, what are the priorities for their own health that over a lifetime could help them, that would help a little bit too.
I think a fair number of professionals will be listening to you here, and aspiring professionals. What is your pitch to them? If nothing else, I think you probably need a lot of expertise, willing to live in these places and serve this community.
I think that commitment to health is paramount. In terms of health outcomes, place matters. And I think we can do so much with what we already know without any additional research. And the way I think about it from a public health perspective is, and something that's really common, like cancer, if we can have even a small impact in a very common public health problem, we can help many, many people. That would be my message. And that is the most rewarding thing I can think of to do.
Great insights, Jan Carney. Thank you for your service to public health, and thank you for joining us on the National Cancer Prevention Workshop. John Dingell, Cancer, Health Disparities, and Access Interviews. A mouthful, but lots to talk about in just this past 20 minutes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Miles.